shouts of praise tonight, church. Yeah, how many know he's worthy? Yeah. Yeah. Come on, church.
God rescued him with a mighty hand. Hallelujah. And the cynic would say, how can you dance on the grave of an enemy that you've never met? He didn't understand what happened 2,000 years ago. Every enemy I'd ever have came down to a hill called Golgotha. And everything that had an ill intent came to do me wrong, wanted to see me die, wanted to take me into hell. Well, they all gathered round the Lamb of God, and he looked like easy pickings. He looked like an easy victory. But when they wrapped their evil arms around him, it was like the tar baby. They couldn't get loose. They couldn't get free. And before the 3 days were over, death was down for the count. Grave was down for the count. Hell had the doors kicked right off of it. I'm dancing, I'm dancing, I'm dancing on the graves of my enemies. Jesus Christ has won the victory, and there's not another battle left of... No, you got to hear this tonight. I don't know what you're going to face on Wednesday, but the battle's already been won. I don't know what you'll face on Thursday, but the battle's already been won. I don't know what's coming up on your calendar of events, but I can tell you the blood covers it all. The Holy Ghost is bigger than it all. The Word of God is stronger than it all. My God, my God, my God. I'm dancing tonight. I'm dancing on the graves of my... I'm dancing about a battle I hadn't even fought yet. I'm dancing about walls that are going to come down. I'm dancing about an enemy that lost his power and he's lost the fight. And all I've got to do is walk through it. That's all I've got to do is walk. Oh, come on, somebody. All I've got to do is walk in it. All I've got to do is embrace it. All I've got to do is believe it tonight. Praise God. Now, just touch your neighbor lightly and tell them, all my battles are already won. All I've got to do is walk through them. Tell them all my enemies are already defeated. All I've got to do is be faithful to God and act like I've got good sense. Hallelujah. All I've got to do is hide under the blood. All I've got to do is speak forth the word. All I've got to do is walk in his Holy Ghost. My God. Come on. Come on. Tell somebody by you, there's more that are with us than those that are against us. Do you believe that tonight? For you that feel alone, it's a lie. I want you to know he said, I'll never leave you. Now, if you want to come down here and call God a liar tonight, well, then you need to begin to say the right thing. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. God is with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Come on. Yeah, you got to get on the winning side of every one of these interactions and every one of these life experiences. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Something radical in the house tonight. Praise God. Something wonderful in the house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to continue to work a little bit here tonight on the 107th Psalm. And we've gone into it a couple of times. This morning we begin to look at it in overview and begin to talk about the construct, the structure of this psalm, and talk about the first stanza or the first division of this psalm. This is the first psalm of the fifth book of the Psalms. And we won't review very much tonight, but we want to follow after this. I feel the Holy Ghost all over this house tonight. I really thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the service this morning. People brand new, never having spoken in tongues before, filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Walking up the steps into the water, going down in the water in Jesus' name, I'm telling you. It's an awesome thing to see. and to be a part of it and to experience it. I love it when the children gather around the baptismal. I love it when the excitement is in the house and it has the feeling of a party and a celebration. It ought to always be that way. There's nothing more awesome in all the world. Praise God. Psalms 107, and we'll read verses 1 through 3, and then the final verse, verse 43. Psalms 107, 1. Would you say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Now, you need to tell somebody, but by you, I know that for myself. I know that God is good. Is there anybody in the house that knows that for yourself? You're not just repeating what somebody else told you. Somebody say, for his mercy endureth forever. Anybody here counted on and depended on and been the beneficiary of the mercies of God? I'm so glad. Verse 2, would you say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise God. Ask your neighbor, what are they supposed to say? That God is good and that his mercy endures forever. Nobody knows that but the redeemed of the Lord. Nobody knows that like you know it. Nobody else. Those guys on the job with you, they're not going to come on the job tomorrow morning and say, guess what, fellas? The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. That's the job of the redeemed of the Lord. They're not going to walk in your school tomorrow and say, guess what I heard over the weekend? God is good and his mercy endures forever. That's not going to happen. The heathen don't praise him. His people praise him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise God. God is good. And his mercies endure forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has delivered out of the hand of the enemy. Praise God. And verse 3, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, the west, the north, the south. Redemption is the theme of the psalm, and redemption is universal. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter where you are. Redemption is powerful enough to do you good where you are right now. I can say that with confidence to anybody. I don't care what the condition of your life is. Redemption has power over those things that you're struggling with right now. Praise God. Anybody in the house believe that tonight? Verse 43. Would you say, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. If you get it, if you get what the writer has given us in Psalms 107, then you'll have insight into the loving kindness of God. Well, praise God. God bless you. You can be seated, and let's give him praise and thanks for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We thank you. Your word is unchangeable. It is immutable. It is forever settled. We stand upon it. We rely upon it. We love you for your word tonight, oh God, a lamp, a light. God, you're so good by the power of your word tonight. Praise God. Praise God. And so in brief review, Psalms 107 is a psalm of redemption, and these first verses underscore that, the fact that he has redeemed some from the hand of the enemy, and they have a testimony, and they have a witness, and redemption is universal. Praise God. We talked a bit this morning about the physical structure of this psalm, and this psalm has two refrains in it, and each of them are repeated four times, and what you get is a little verse or a division that is punctuated by these repetitions or by these refrains. And so you have a song here with several verses that have the same refrain in them. Praise God. The first refrain is evidenced in verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And that occurs in verse 6 and verse 13 and verse 19 and verse 28. Then they cried unto the Lord. That's going to punctuate each of these verses or stanzas or divisions in this psalm. And those cries unto the Lord are preceded by a verse or two that describe the condition or the plight of the person or persons involved. After that, they cry unto the Lord. And that cry is followed by the nature of their deliverance, what God does for them in response to their cry. And then the second refrain always follows that. The second refrain is again, something that happens four times through this psalm, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, 1, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Would you just try that on for size? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Ah, powerful things happen when men praise the Lord. Awesome things happen when people discover the power of praise. You can clear a house of demonic activity with genuine and heartfelt praise. Well, praise God. God can send forth ambushments and defeat your enemies in the midst of a firestorm of praise. The chains fall off. The jail cells are open. I'm going by verse of the Word of God tonight to tell you there's hardly anything in your life right now that praise won't accomplish victory regarding. And the elders and the patriarchs, they knew this. When Abram's going to the mountain with his sacrifice in tow, it's his son, he tells his servants, we're going up there to worship. He looked at sacrifice as worship. When Job got the bad news and he got hammered down all day long, the Bible said he tore his clothes and fell down on the ground and worshiped God. These elders, these patriarchs, they are a sign to us. No matter how bad it gets, don't you let anything steal your praise. Don't let anything steal your worship. You've got to understand this. In the middle of the crucible of trouble, you've got to be able to have a voice of praise. It's your only hope. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And then after that second refrain, there is a verse or two that always follows, and there's a description of the good work, the wonderful blessing that God does in the midst of that trouble. And that's one of the verses. Now, we dealt with one this morning, and we worked it all the way through the refrains, and we talked about it, and all we did was one, because it took a little while. But I was very gratified to see people get in the Holy Ghost and get baptized at the end of it. And it's wonderful to see the Word of God work in people's lives in a very specific way. But for example, in the first stanza that begins in verse 4, they wander in a wilderness in a solitary way. They are lonesome. They are by themselves. No city, no community to dwell in. They are hungry and thirsty, and their soul faints. They're dying. They're not dying for want of water or for want of bread, but they are dying inside. Their soul's dying because they don't have the connectedness that they need in their life. They don't have a sense of family and a sense of community. And look at what God does for them. Verse 6, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivers them. You know God's got his ear directed toward this world tonight. He's just looking for somebody that he can show himself strong on their part. God is looking to pour out deliverance. You know he's got redemption all through his heart tonight. God would rather have mercy than judgment. God would rather redeem you than cast you into hell. God really is on your side. You may be troubled about your failure, but God never saw a failure that he didn't have a remedy and an antidote for. Praise God. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them, verse 6, verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way. Everybody say the right way. You got to go God's way. That they might go to a city of habitation. He didn't give them bread. He didn't give them water. He brought them to a city of habitation. And the language is very specific here. They are dying for want of community and fellowship. And we looked at the constructs of Israel and the church, and we understand that God doesn't deal with individuals. God deals with communities. Israel is a community of believers, and they sat at the foot of God at Sinai for 2 years and learned how to be a people who were not a people. And then Paul talks about us in the same terms. He said, we were not a people, but now we've been made the people of God. And he talks about us that we are stones and jointly, fitly framed together, and we build up a habitation for God. And the strength of that habitation comes from the joints. Comes from the relationships. And so this is a stanza about people that are dying for want of community and relationship. And verse 9, he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. You don't need to bring your old Egyptian ideas into the house of God and try to build relationships that way. You need to relax in the hand of God. This is not, in this house, this is not about competition. This is not about a caste structure. We don't care at all about your ethnicity. We don't care at all about your national origin. All we care about is, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you covered with the blood? Do you belong to Him? Well, if you belong to Him, you're my brother, you're my sister in the Lord. And I'll just tell you, I get an attitude about anything that wants to come between me and the family of God. You need to hear this tonight. And people without that God-given relationship are hungry and thirsty, and their soul is fainting. And they're trying to accomplish finding the answer to that by running through the gamut of all the world has to offer. Shallow relationships and false relationships and relationships that are immoral and not biblical. And you won't find what you're looking for like that. And you'll continue to be hungry and thirsty. Now, as we deal with this business of redemption in this psalm, we are dealing with the initial experience of redemption. Some of the people that came to the altar this morning were the first time they'd ever received the Holy Ghost. That's their initial infilling. That's their initial baptism. They are like Israel that came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, and they're dancing on the banks of the Red Sea. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. And it's real and it's true and it's powerful, but that's not the end, because all they have done, and I'm not diminishing what they've done, but what they've done is begin a process of redemption, because it continues all the way down to where they enter into the promised land. Well, praise God. And so redemption is a process. Poke your neighbor and tell them, redemption is not an event. Redemption is a process. Praise God. There's a day you start. And then every day you get up in the middle of it and you say, praise God, I'm redeemed and I'm going to walk in this redemption today. Now, and I'm just going to tell you, if you're in the house of God, if you're a part of the living organism of the Church of the Living God, and you can't get next to people, and you feel isolated, and you have fusses and fights with everybody around you, and you fight with people on the job, and you're paranoid about what people are saying about you, and you're troubled in your spirit about relationships, you just got to get this tonight. Egypt is still alive and well down in you, and you haven't come into the fullness of a redemptive process. Praise God. You're out of Egypt, but Egypt's not out of you. Well, praise the Lord. And so the redemptive process is something, Brother Travis, I want God to have his way with me. Praise God. I want to truly begin to sing, makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Now, you've sung that song before, but that song will make a liar out of you if you're not careful. And in the wilderness, he taught them community. Don't harvest the corners of your fields. What to do if your ox gores another man's. And it's all about love God and love people. Get over to the New Testament and he teaches them about how to walk with and love people. Carry that Roman's pack of armor for another mile if he requires you to carry it one. Turn the other cheek when that man smites you. Do good to your enemy and those that despitefully use you and persecute you. What is that about? That's about becoming harmless and blameless in everything and trying your best to have a relationship with everybody around you, not letting anything get in the way. Praise God. You need a full-blown redemption experience. It's a process, but you've got to let it down in those secret places, the places where you're afraid and the places where you feel insecure and you have to walk over the bodies of other people and you have to demonize other people to feel good about yourself. And you have to assassinate the character of other people. And you have to find fault. And you have to see the flaws in somebody else so you can feel better in yourself. The kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is, I feel good right now because God loves me. Because God's laid his hand on me. And I don't need you to fail for me to win. What a revelation. I don't need somebody else to lose for me to win. Man, praise God, I won when I walked in the back of an apostolic church and the preacher preached the word of God to me and God filled me with that Holy Ghost and fire and he washed all my sins away. Praise God. Praise God. So this is how it goes. These stanzas are a part of a psalm about redemption. They have repetitive or refrain verses in them, and they are quite alike in their structure. Now, I want us to go into another stanza or another division of this psalm tonight. With your permission, we will go. Verse 10, praise the Lord. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. These people are under a cloud, and they're in a place. When the scripture uses the terminology bound in iron, I want you to understand that as we go into this verse, or this stanza, if you would, that the ideas of a gate of brass and bars of iron are idiomatic to that time, or axiomatic, and has to do with something that cannot be accomplished. If we said you were bound up with bars of iron, or we asked the rhetorical, and who can break bars of iron? Or we said, and who can take a city with gates of brass? It's an idiomatic expression that means it's impossible. It's undoable. It's something that you can't burn those gates. You can't break down those gates. You can't shake, because gates in those days to the cities were made of wood, and brass gates were something that was just impenetrable. And bars of iron on the outer walls of your prison cell just meant you were going to stay there for a long, long time. So these folks, with the specific language of the scripture, they're sitting in darkness. There's no revelation. There's no vision. There's no light. They're in under the shadow of death. Hope has fled out the window, and they're bound in affliction and iron because they rebelled against the word of the Lord and condemned the counsel of the Most High. They're where they are because they backslid. They're where they are because they've ignored the counsel of the word of God, and now that has come home to roost in their lives, and now they're bound up in something they can't get out of on their own. They're bound up with bars of iron. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. When the judgment of God comes upon you, you need to understand that nobody's going to be able to help you but God. When the judgment of God, or God begins a corrective process in your life, you need to understand that nobody's going to be able to help you. More education won't help you. More money won't help you. More success won't help you. More friends won't help you. You're going to sit there in the hollow night, and you're going to be in a place face to face with the reality. I've got to do business with God. Now, let me tell you the good news. When God comes to your house to do business, even if it's with the hand of judgment, or even if it's with the hand of punitive correction, you got to know this. It's for your own good, because God didn't come to hurt you. God has come to do you good. Oh, my God, I'm talking to somebody tonight that knows you're under the heel of God's judgment because of what you've done and where you've been and what you didn't do in your life. You got unfinished business in your life. You've got unfinished business in your life. And God's calling you tonight to bring that unfinished business to an altar and let the redemptive process be complete in your life. But God's knocking on your door, and he's not come to hurt you. He's come to do you good. He came to Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in his world, and he cut him down, like the vision said, like a giant oak tree. But he didn't cut him down to kill him, and he didn't cut him down to hurt him. He cut him down to give him a 7-year season in the wilderness under the heel of judgment. And as he came up for air after those 7 years, he lifted up his eyes and he said, there's a God in the heavens. Praise God. The punitive hand of God is good for us. And I want to tell you tonight, nobody's going to help you. Nothing's going to help you. You're going to have to get this right with God. You're going to have to get this right. You're not going to figure this out. You're not going to make a way here. You're going to have to do business with God. And God's in this house, and there's a call of God here for you tonight. There's an altar here for you tonight. And the redemptive plan of God is here in all of its power. Well, praise God. He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. Oh, but here's the refrain in this verse. Everybody said, but then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Oh, come on. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. My God, what sweet music. What a wonderful thing. Because you can follow the destruction and the punishment and the hardship as far as you want. But as soon as God hears that little cry, it might just be a whisper. It may be tear and choked sobs in the middle of the night saying, God, please come and help me over the roar of an industrial city, over the roar of a modern culture and society, with all the noise and the cheers and the media noise and all the static in this place. I'm telling you, God has an ear attuned and he can hear a cry for mercy. As soon as you cry for mercy, God hears you. Now the devil's on your shoulder tonight saying God won't hear you. God doesn't care about you. God's not able to reach you. You're just one little puny speck. Let me tell you, as soon as you reach out for him, God begins to move in your direction. Draw nigh unto him. And he, the maker of all things, he, the creator of all things, he, God, the very God himself, will begin inexorably to move toward you. Oh, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. God, I feel redemption power in the house of God tonight. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And just like that, he saved them out of their distresses. God can touch your life in a nanosecond. Bam. God can touch your life. And I know it took a lifetime to get there, but God can touch you and begin that remedial work right now. Everybody say, right now. You start getting better right now. The cloud starts lifting right now. The disease starts retreating right now. The pain starts moving out right now. The dilemma begins to dissipate right. I'm telling you right now, right now, right now. In the middle of a Sunday night, so you've been watching your clock. You've been wondering how long we'll be here. I want to hurry up and get to McDonald's. But I'm telling you right now, there's a miracle in the house right now. It can move on you right now. The miracle of redemption. Miracle of God's grace, goodness, and power. Somebody shout, somebody worship just for a minute here tonight. Right now, right now. Set the captive free. Hopeless situation. But not when God steps on the scene. Puzzle without an answer. But not when God steps on the scene. Out of the reach of man's ability. But God declares, is there anything too hard? He's challenging you tonight. He's telling you, you think you're special. You're out of the reach of God. You've believed the lie of the enemy. But there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. Praise God. They cried to the Lord. He delivered them. And verse 14, it explains what God did in deliverance. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Now, what were their bands made of? Made of iron. The scripture is very specific there. He broke those iron. And in the idiomatic expression is, who could do anything against bands of iron? Who can break down a city of brass? But the Bible says he broke their bands in sunder. I mean, watch it now. They called upon him and he saved them right now. And he broke the band. I don't care if you've been bound for 20 years. I don't care if you've been bound up by drugs or alcohol or perversion or immorality. It doesn't matter what's been moving in your life. And I don't care at what point in the redemptive process you are. If you've never been redeemed or if you've been struggling and trying to live for God for years, but you've never broken free, God can break the things that are binding you right now, right now, right now, right now. God can break the things that are binding you right now. And then the praise breaks forth. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. He made short work of this impossible thing. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. And here's what he did. Verse 16 is the explanation. And this is the pattern of this psalm of redemption. Verse 16, for everybody say, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. He took an impossible situation, and in a moment's time, he took something that men would say is impossible, and in a moment of redemptive power, broke those things into. Well, sir, it's taken you a lifetime to get like this. I know, but we're not just dealing with reason, and we're not just dealing with cognitive process, and we're not just dealing with the understandable things of man. I'm telling you, a God that can touch a leper and make his skin whole again. A God can touch Magdalene with seven devils and make her a worshiper of the Most High God in a moment's time. My God, if you're in a place right now where you feel like your situation is impossible, the word of God is in the house right now to say God can break down the gates of brass and God can break the bars of iron in sunder. Praise God. Praise God. Lay your hand on your neighbor now and just tell him God will do the impossible for you. Praise God. Look him in the eyeball. Say that thing that you thought was out of reach is within the reach of God right now. Praise God. Here's the catalyst. They cried unto the Lord and he delivered. Come on. They cried unto the Lord and he delivered them out of their distresses. Praise God. And here's what he did. He broke the things that were binding them. And oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works unto the children of men. For his goodness. Well, praise the Lord. Now, listen to me. I'm ready to go on, and I'm ready to plumb the depths of this chapter, and we can just continue on right now. But my God, if I were in this house right now, let me just tell you what I would do. If I were in this house and I had an impossible situation, something that I've gotten in the ring with 400 times, and every time I wound up flat on my back, something I've laid hands on and it's wrestled me to the deck more times than I can remember, something I've wept about, something I've cursed about, something I've been dismayed and perplexed about, if I had a circumstance like that in my life, I'd be right here at this altar right now. I would come right now and I would say, God, I hear a voice of redemption. God, redeem me. God, mighty God. Listen, they cried out unto the Lord. It's not enough to hear it. You've got to respond to it tonight. Come on. Cry unto the Lord in your dilemma, in your problem, in your place of incarceration, in the thing that's got you bound up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I would come to this altar right now and I'd begin to say, God, I see it in your word. I know you've got redemption for me. I know you're able to deliver me, God. I need somebody that prays in faith tonight to come down to this altar. Praise God. There's a word in this house. God will break it in sunder. God will break down the walls. He'll tear down the gates of brass. I want you to join with somebody else. Just be subtle about it. Just reach over, lay your hand, or take a hand, because one of you can set 1,000 to flight, but two of you can set 10,000 to flight. If you've never been redeemed, tonight is a night to go down in the water in the name of Jesus. Tonight is a night to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. If you've been walking for God in the power of redemption, but it hasn't made a complete work in your life, come on, stand in this altar. This altar doesn't belong to sinners and outsiders. This altar belongs to the church of the living God. They cried unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord. Tired of living this way, God. I'm tired of seeing my loved ones suffer. I'm tired, oh God, being bound up by these things. God, I need you tonight. God, I need you tonight. Hallelujah. God, send your anointing. It destroys every yoke. God, send your love. It hides a multitude of sand. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I want you to move into the next section of this verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. I want you to begin to praise him right now, specifically for what you prayed about. I can hear chains falling off. I can hear gates of brass groaning on their hinges as they're coming down. My God, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Does anybody feel liberty climbing up your back and moving and circling its arms around you? I want you to pick one person right by you right now, and I want you to turn to them, lay hands on them, and pray with anointing for them. Could you just get lost in the Holy Ghost in that prayer? Just let the Holy Ghost use your vessel. Just lose yourself in it. I want you to begin to praise him for what he's done in your life and in your home and in your family. Liberty's not a feeling, it's a fact. Deliverance is not a feeling, it's a fact. No, you got to hear me. I know it comes with a feeling, and I know we deal in feelings, but you may not be feeling anything, but you can walk in freedom. You can walk in liberty. You can walk in redemption tonight. Somebody that can hear the chains falling off tonight. I want you to go ahead and begin to shout about it a little bit. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. My God, my God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Let me tell you a little bit of something about your pastor tonight. I was young in the Lord. I was young in the work of God and in the ministry at my home church. And I was involved in the music. And I would come to church on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. And while I was involved in the worship, there would be a depression come on me. And I mean, and I am not a depressed person. Never have been. Too superficial to be depressed. Too simple-minded. But that depression, I could feel it. I could taste it. It was like a blanket on my life. And I drove the ushers, everybody nuts. I'd leave the platform. I'd go around to our prayer room in the back of the church. And there was an intercom in there. And I'd turn it on and I'd sit in the dark, listen to the service. Depressed. I didn't know how to deal with it because I'd never been depressed before. I didn't know what you did with depression. And it would come on me, and it didn't bother me on the job. It didn't fool with me at my house. I'm real slow. You probably got this right off the bat, but it took me a while. It would always come on me when I stepped up on the platform and began to engage in ministry that supported praise. Well, yeah, that's right. That's because you're wise and you're well taught and you understand the things of God. But I didn't understand it. And so I went for months fighting that thing, feeling you don't belong here. You don't fit in here. You need to walk out that door, get in that car, and leave this place and never come back. I mean, all that was trafficking through my mind. And I was feeling, you see, the devil doesn't just come to you with thoughts. Or with fear. He comes to you with all guns blazing. And he is a spirit that speaks. And it moves through your mind. And there's corresponding feeling there with it. You feel bad and you think you need to leave this place. And this place is why you feel this. You never felt this way before you came here. You're just in the middle of a bunch of ridiculous religious fanatics. And you need to get as far away from this. You'll feel better by and by. But then the word of God came to me. And it was so simple, and you know it already. And it was, put on the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness. I said, this is not physiological. This is not a mental condition. I'm battling a spirit. Oh, and once I figured out it was a spirit, I got an attitude about it. Somebody fooling with me in the house of God. Somebody fooling with me and pushing me around. And what really made me sick is that he had been winning round after. We were about in round 20, and I was on my back on the canvas every round. But then the word of the Lord came to me while I'm on my back. And I go, I think I get this. I think I understand. And so Isaiah said there's a literal garment of praise that you put on. It's proactive. You got to put it on. It's not what the Holy Ghost does to you, and it's not what God does to you. It's what you do unto God. And I got a revelation about that scripture. And in a traditional church that worshiped good, and they were wonderful folks, but they didn't do like you do. I began to get something moving in my life. And I said, we're going to fight every time I come in the door, shift friend. And so I began to come to the house of God. And I didn't know how to do it because I didn't have a visual example around me anywhere. Nobody, people were lifting their hands and clapping their hands, but I needed more than that. So I'd tuck my big Thompson chain under my arm, and I'd make my trips around the church like a tailback with a football under his arm. And then I'd get on the platform, and I'd juke, and I'd dance, and it was a little bit tough. It's like getting beat with a rubber hose, because nobody in that house was doing like that. But it was a whole lot better than going through what I'd been going through. And as soon as I started praising God with liberty, as soon as I began to put on the garment of praise, I could feel the chains of depression falling off my life. I could feel the gates of brass coming down off that city he was trying to lock me up in. I want you to know tonight, there's not an impossible situation with God, but you've got to cry out to God. You've got to cry out to God. And then, after you've cried, and you know, my God, tell your neighbor, and I know God hears me when I cry out to him. Come on, now say it. Say, I know God heard me tonight. Tell somebody right now, and I know God's moving on my behalf right now. My God, I feel that in this place right now. Somebody shouted, I know God is moving for me right now. And then the next refrain, and then the second refrain. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Right now, before we go, now I'm letting you out early tonight, but I want you to praise God with all your heart. I want you to get out of this altar where you got some room. I want you to get around the walls, up and down the aisles, and I want you to begin to open your mouth and say, this is what God has done for me. This is what God has done for me. I want to thank you, God, for liberty. I want to thank you, God, for deliverance. I want to thank you, God, for redemption. Come on, all over the house. That men would praise the Lord. Hey. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Hey. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. My God. Break up tonight. Let the Holy Ghost flow through you with authority right now. Praise God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. No impossible situations. No gates that can't be torn down. No bars that can't be broken. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. There's prayer here tomorrow night at 7. There's youth prayer here tomorrow.